The COVID-19 crisis has shown us that our old systems are not fit anymore for the 21st century. In short, we need a great reset.
We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose that war, and in so doing lose this way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening. Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
But I want to speak as a mom and as a stepmom. You hurt our kids. And watch out! Because you have never faced the rage of thousands of furious mothers and stepmothers!
And extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
Because what we do at this juncture in this country will determine whether this country lives or dies. And I don't know about you, but I'm willing to give all for this nation because somebody gave all for me.
This is the COVID-1984 podcast with RD.
I want your take on what you think has transpired here over the past few days from a market standpoint.
Yeah, I don't think it's the last few days necessarily. I think we have some major problems in our economy. Maybe they'll be fixed, but you just look at many, many factors. We've been on a spending spree, and, you know, the rising tide, you know, tide lifts all ships, but a lot of people in our economy are not doing well, obviously. You know, the net worth of the median household is nothing, basically. And you just look at what is going on. I think Powell really has to raise interest rates sooner or later. I can't talk about next week or even next month, but inflation is the worst thing an economy can have, and I think people underrate that. If you look in history, every hegemony has been destroyed by inflation, or almost everyone. I mean, just go back to Rome. That's what happens. And one of our major problems, I think, in this economy right now, is there's no leadership on the corporate level. You know, forget politically, and I'm not going to get into politics, but I think you do feel that in Washington, nobody knows what's really going on. But forgetting that, in our corporations, and I've lived with that, I mean, all my life, basically, and companies today really have, with many exceptions, many, many exceptions, leadership is worse than mediocre. And that's why we are so successful. I mean, not because we're geniuses, but because you go into a company today, and that's what we've done over and over and over again, mm-hmm. And it's really horrible what you find in many of them.
Hello, Patriots. It is Saturday, March 18, 2023, and this is episode 48, called 2023. A year history won't forget, because we are living through one of the momentous years and probably one of the most momentous weeks in a lifetime, probably, I would say, because the world is changing dramatically as we speak. We don't feel the full effects of it yet. Some people do more than others. Some people are dead from the vaccine. Some people are raped by people crossing the border. Some people have been economically devastated by various policies. But the vast majority is still going about our lives. But the world is changing dramatically, and you see signs of it everywhere. So what we have here is these idiots in Washington, our betters, the experts, they keep calling them the experts. Listen to the experts. Don't listen to yourself. Don't believe your eyes. Don't believe your ears. Listen to the experts. They're the only ones. You gotta lock down. You gotta shut everything down. Shut the economy down. You gotta take these checks we're gonna give you. And then we're gonna create massive, massive inflation. And then we're going to cause so much inflation for no reason, even though COVID had a 99.9% survival rate, even though we denied you taking vitamin D and quercetin and hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, even though we tried to prevent you from having easy fix to COVID and locked you down instead and gave you checks. And then we caused massive inflation. So much inflation that the Federal Reserve came in and raised interest rates at a dramatic level. And then everybody who bought government securities, low interest rates for 10 years, couldn't liquidate those at the prices that were now the going rate in the market because the Fed had to raise interest rates so high because the government did so many stupid things. And now the whole system is breaking. And it's hard to know what part was incompetence and what part was deliberate. But here's a story from Zero Hedge. And we do know that Silicon Valley Bank was woke and all that stuff. But what really happened was is that they followed the guidance from the experts. And then the Federal Reserve went in and raised interest rates through the roof, and when people wanted their money, they had to liquidate these bonds at big losses to make money available, and now they are experiencing huge losses, and now the Fed is underwriting everything. But here's a story from the Zero Hedge. Silicon Valley Bank followed exactly what regulation recommended. The second largest collapse of a bank in recent history could have been prevented. Now, the impact is too large, and the contagion risk is difficult to measure. The demise of the Silicon Valley Bank is a classic bank run driven by a liquidity event, but the important lesson for everyone is that the enormity of the unrealized losses in the financial hole in the bank's accounts would not have existed if it were not for ultra-loose monetary policy. So we've had interest rates at artificially low rates for decades. Actually, the Federal Reserve really started lowering rates extremely low back after 9/11, I believe, or it could have been back even further than that in the 90s after the tech boom and bust and all that stuff. Back when Greenspan was still there, he started lowering rates, and well, now they've created a disaster. But anyway, going on, let us explain why. As of December 31st, 2022, Silicon Valley Bank, or SVB, had approximately $209 billion in total assets and about $175 billion in total deposits, according to their public accounts. Their top shareholders are Vanguard, BlackRock, State Street, and the Swedish pension fund Alecta. So BlackRock and Vanguard, I'm sure they got out all right. They got out all right to cause more havoc in other areas of our world, Vanguard and BlackRock in particular. The incredible growth and success of SVB could not have happened without negative rates, ultra-loose monetary policy, and the tech bubble that burst in 2022. Furthermore, the bank's liquidity event could not have happened without the regulatory monetary policy incentives to accumulate sovereign debt and mortgage-backed securities. The asset base of a Silicon Valley bank read like the clearest example of the old mantra, don't fight the Fed. SVB made one big mistake, follow exactly the incentives created by loose monetary policy and regulation. What happened in 2021? Massive success that, unfortunately, was also the first step to its demise. The bank's deposits nearly doubled with the tech boom. Everyone wanted a piece of the unstoppable new tech paradigm. SVB's assets also rose and almost doubled. The bank's assets rose in value. More than 40% were long-dated treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. The rest were seemingly world-conquering new tech and venture capital investments. Most of these low-risk bonds and securities were held to maturity. They were following the mainstream rulebook, low-risk assets to balance the risk of venture capital investments. When the Federal Reserve raised interest rates because of the fake pandemic and the forced lockdowns and forced checks and all that, when they raised interest rates, they must have been shocked. The entire asset base of SVP was one single bet, low rates and quantitative easing for longer. Tech valuations soared in the period of loose monetary policy, and the best way to hedge this was with treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. Why would they bet on anything else? This was what the Fed was buying in billions every month. They were the lowest risk asset according to all regulations and according to the Fed and all mainstream economists. Inflation was purely transitory. Remember when the experts told us Fed was inflation was transitory? Well, they were lying then too. A base effect antidote. What could go wrong? Inflation was not transitory and easy money was not endless. Rate hikes happened, and they caught the bank suffering massive losses everywhere. Goodbye bonds and mortgage-backed securities price. Goodbye tech new paradigm valuations, and hello panic. A good old bank run, despite the strong recovery of SVP shares in January. Mark-to-market unrealized losses of $15 billion were almost 100% of the market capitalization of the bank. Wipeout. And the famous episode of South Park said, and it's gone. SVB showed how quickly the capital of a bank can dissolve in front of our eyes. The FDIC will step in, but it's not enough because only 3% of the deposits of SVB were less than $250,000. So most of the deposits were not covered by the SVB, FDIC. So according to Time Magazine, more than 85% of Silicon Valley's bank deposits were not insured, but we covered them anyway. It is worse. One third of U.S. deposits are in small banks, and around half are uninsured, according to Bloomberg. Depositors of SVP will likely lose most of their money, and this will also create significant uncertainty in other entities. SVP was a poster boy of banking management by the book. They followed a conservative policy of adding the safest assets, long-dated treasury bills, and deposits soared. SVP did exactly what those that blamed the 2008 crisis on deregulation recommended. SVP was a boring and conservative bank that invested the rising deposits in sovereign bonds and mortgage-backed securities and believed that inflation was transitory, as everyone except for us, the crazy minority, repeated. SVP did nothing but follow regulation and monetary policy incentives and Keynesian economists' recommendations point by point. SVP was the epitome of mainstream economic thinking, and the mainstream killed the tech star. Many will now blame greed, capitalism, and lack of regulation, but guess what? More regulation would have done nothing because regulation and policy incentivize adding these low-risk assets. Furthermore, the regulation and monetary policy are directly responsible for the tech bubble. The increasingly elevated valuations of non-profitable tech and allegedly unstoppable flow of capital to fund innovation and green investments would never have happened without negative real rates and massive liquidity injections. In the case of SVP, its phenomenal growth in 2021 is a direct consequence of the insane monetary policy implemented in 2020 when the major banks, central banks, increased their balance sheet to $20 trillion as if nothing would happen. SVP is a casualty of the narrative that money printing does not cause inflation and can continue forever. They embraced it wholeheartedly, and now they are gone. SVP invested in the entire bubble of everything, sovereign bonds, MBS, and tech. Did they do it because they were stupid and reckless? No, they did it because they perceived that this was exceptionally low to no risk in those assets. No bank accumulates risk in an asset they believe it has considerable risk. The only way in which a bank accumulates risk is if they perceive that there is none. Why do they perceive it? Because the government, regulators, central bank, and experts tell them so. Who will be next? Many will blame everything except for the perverse incentives and bubbles created by the monetary policy and regulation, and will demand rate cuts and quantitative easing to solve the problem. It will only worsen. You do not solve the consequences of a bubble with more bubbles. You do not solve the consequence of a bubble with more bubbles. The demise of Silicon Valley Bank highlights the enormity of the problem of risk accumulation by political design. SVB did not collapse due to reckless management, but because they did exactly what the Keynesians and the monetary interventionists want them to do. So what are we going to do now? We're going to blame capitalism, just like this article says, is not the problem. We're going to blame capitalism. We're going to do more quantitative easing. Do you realize that all the progress, all the tightening they had made over the last year or so is pretty much just reversed within a few days by covering this disaster? So all the tightening we've done, it's just been negated because they've had to basically funnel all kinds of money to these banks to cover them from a worldwide economic disaster. That's what's going on here. Now they got to reverse. So it's a bunch of idiots in Washington. They're lying. The media is lying. The regulators are fools and corrupt, and the politicians are evil. And we need to get some adults into office so that we can solve real problems. And we need to make the people understand what the problems are and how we're going to fix them. And we can't just be going from one extreme to the next and not thinking. We have to think and approach these things, with problem-solving mentality. And then we're going to have to probably go through some hard times to fix the problems. And we have to be ready for when the collapse happens. We have to be ready to rebuild, because it's almost like a certainty at this point that there's going to be a collapse. And we don't know what it's going to entail. We don't know how bad the economic devastation is going to be. We don't know what kind of wars this might lead to. We don't even know if the country can survive in its current state. But we got to do the best we can here. And right on schedule here, the Trilateral Commission. This is from technocracy.news. The Trilateral Commission was created in the 1970s by Zinvi Brzezinski and David Rockefeller. And this was one of their earlier formulations of the New World Order. And they have declared the Trilateral Commission has declared 2023 is year one of the new global order. Remember Pol Pot, the mass killer in Cambodia, declared his regime year zero. So now we're declaring year zero again. The Trilateral Commission's 50th anniversary marks the accumulation of its self-proclaimed new international economic order. On March 12th, the Trilateral Commission held its plenary meeting in New Delhi, India, to discuss issues relating to globalization. Trilateral Commission co-founder Zinvi Brzezinski, technotronic era has apparently officially arrived. Amid the new world alliances that are forming as India and China seek to normalize relations, as China had just brokered a relationship between Saudi Arabia and Iran, the globalist narrative has opened a new and possible final chapter. According to Nikkei Asia, one unnamed Trilateral Commission member addressed the plenary meeting and stated, 3 decades of globalization, defined as integrated, free, market-based, and deflationary, has been replaced by what will be a multi-decade period of globalization defined as fragmented, not free market-based, but industrial policy-based and structurally inflationary. This year, 2023, is year one of this new global order. This reflects Brzezinski's early strategy to transform the world, as he wrote it, in between two ages, America's role in the technotronic era. The new nation-state as a fundamental unit of man's organized life has ceased to be the principal creative force. International banks and multinational corporations are acting and planning in terms that are far in advance of the political concepts of the nation-state. Welcome to the new global order. So the nation state's gone, according to these a-holes. Trilateral Commission gives a signal to the WEF. Klaus Schwab, founder of the World Economic Forum, stated in 2020, the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. This is what I've been talking about for 2-3 years now. You literally came out a book, Klaus Schwab did, called COVID-19, The Great Reset. That's what set my antennas going. That's when I started realizing that, wow, this is really a global coup that we're seeing right here. This followed my analysis that the so-called pandemic was technocracy's coup d'etat, and that this had been building up for over 45 years at the hands of the Trilateral Commission. In fact, I've argued consistently that the Commission's original new international economic order was nothing more than technocracy warmed over from the 1930s. It was Brzezinski's technotronic era. It was the United Nations Sustainable Development. It was Biden's Green New Deal. All one and the same, and all strategized by members of the Trilateral Commission starting in 1973. The World Economic Forum is thoroughly intertwined with the United Nations and vigorously promotes its sustainable development goals. The WEF's website states, the COVID-19 pandemic has presented its fair share of challenges, but also has offered opportunities. The World Economic Forum has assembled physical events for over 40 years, but we now have a unique opportunity to take the experience online. As part of the Sustainable Development Impact Summit 2020, the World Economic Forum is experimenting with a 3-day environment that allows spatial exploration of sustainable development goals, SDG specific content discovery, and experiencing the ambient of a physical event from your computer. Watch the video below for a sneak peek of our exploration. But I'm not going to play that video because it's actually pretty stupid. It looks pretty amateur to me. Seems like the World Economic Forum is kind of, like, in my opinion, maybe getting carried away with their imagination and their delusions. But they're certainly trying, and they're certainly going for it, and they're certainly going to cause a lot of havoc in the process. When Schwab says the World Economic Forum is reimagining the future, he is flatly misleading. The future was already reimagined by earlier members of the Trilateral Commission, such as Brzezinski, David Rockefeller, Richard Gardner, and Henry Kissinger, all founding members. On June 3, 2020, Schwab wrote on the WEF blog, to achieve a better outcome, the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts and working condition. Every country from the United States to China must participate, and every industry from oil and gas to tech must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism. Now the Trilateral Commission, acting as quarterback, has relayed the call to the WEF that this year, 2023, is year one of the new global order. In other words, pull out all the stops. The great reset has arrived. Execute the battle plan to terminate capitalism and free market economies. And I'm asking you, the listener, to execute our battle plan to destroy these people and to save our country. What does this mean for 2023, as I have written? We are already experiencing a poly crisis of doom, where multiple crises are descending upon us at the same time. There is a man-made energy crisis that is warring against coal, oil, and natural gas. There is a man-made food crisis that is warring against all traditional food systems. There is a man-made financial crisis that threatens total collapse of the existing financial system. There is a man-made military conflict between Russia and Ukraine that threatens World War III. So see, all this is man-made. Everything that is going on has been created by the so-called experts. And I think most people are catching on that we don't want to listen to these people anymore. Their day is done. They're over. They've lost all credibility. We all see that they're the ones responsible for the problems. They're creating the problems. They're creating the lies. They're creating the trouble. They're creating the havoc. They're creating the turmoil. They're creating the chaos. Any one of these pending crises could have been a scorched earth policy where total destruction is possible down to the ground level. If all four are unleashed at the same time, it would be the equivalent of atomic warfare resulting in a literal dark winter. Such a collapsed world would then be ripe for total capture and rebuilding into two technocracies' dystopia. Don't shrug your shoulders. It is unfortunate that hardly anyone has given any credence to the Trilateral Commission over the years. I will say pointedly that the first person to bust them was the late scholar and professor Anthony C. Sutton, with whom I co-authored Trilaterals over Washington, Volume 1, 2, between 1978 and 1981. Few paid attention back then, just as few pay attention to today. We were mercilessly censored back then, just as I am censored today. Nevertheless, our work has stood the test of time, and now the end game is at hand. If you feel like you are in the dark on this, now is the time to start reading and studying Sutton's and mine combined works. Trilaterals over Washington, Volume 1 and 2 are available here. So this is Patrick Wood. He's written a book. He is one of our leading students of technocracy. And he's got five books out on technocracy, so you should all read them. And he actually just came out with a new one called The Evil Twins of Technocracy and Transhumanism. So I just can't believe we are living through this. And let's take a look at Joe Biden. Let's take a look at the big tough guy who is so unconcerned with our fate, unconcerned with our worries, unconcerned with our problems, unconcerned with our concerns, unconcerned with East Palestine, unconcerned with our economy. Let's look at the tough guy right now and check him out when asked about the over $1 million that went to his family from China. China, why is China giving $1 million to the Bidens? Let's check it out. Check it out. Hold on one second.
Any ration to House GOP's memo about your family dealings, sir? Any ration to House GOP's new memo about your family dealings, sir?
Family
dealings. Yes, you're revealing that Hunter Biden's business associate sent over $1 million to three of your family members. Any reaction to that report?
Not true.
Do you have any reaction to the Russian jet that took down the U.S. drone, Mr. President?
Look at the tough guy. He looks confused, like he doesn't even know where he's at. Just lying, you know, reflexively. No, it's not true. No, we never did anything wrong. We didn't know. There's not millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars going to Hunter Biden. Yeah. Guy can't even make it in the military for like more than a month before he got kicked out. I mean, he's a total basket case. This guy must be, what is going on with this guy? Is he got so many skills and so much knowledge that everybody wants to give him money? All over the world? Ukrainians, Chinese, Russians? Remember, he got $1 million from the mayor's wife in Russia, too. What is going on with Hunter Biden? But it's not true that they did anything wrong. Anyway, but that's not going to stop Biden from hunting down all his enemies. And it's not going to help Miles Guo that Biden is getting $1 million from China, because China wants Miles Guo. And here's a story from WION. Who is Guo Wengu? Steve Bannon pal arrested in the U.S. for fraud. Know about his wife, net worth, and other details. So the fraudster, Joe Biden, the fraudster in chief, is out there arresting everybody for fraud. He's seeing fraud around every corner. He's seeing fraud under every rock. He's seeing violations of the criminal code everywhere. He's seeing regulatory violations everywhere. Yeah, he's getting millions of dollars all over the world from all these corrupt governments. This is out of control, and it's pathetic. Joe Biden, I'm sorry, but he needs to be arrested and tried and executed for treason. There, I said it. Because if anybody has ever betrayed this country in a manner that is deserving of the ultimate punishment, it's Joe Biden. He doesn't even care. He's completely sold this country out. Completely. He said, leave the borders open. Send all the money to Ukraine. Totally nationalize the banks. Screw them. Screw all these peasants. Screw them. Arrest them all. Make them suffer. Let them die from dioxins in East Palestine. We don't care. Arrest everybody. I'm president of the United States. I stole it fair and square. That's the attitude of this biggest scumbag ever to walk the earth. This lion, pathetic scoundrel of a sad excuse for a family. Chinese tycoon Guo Wengu was arrested on Wednesday by New York police over a $1 billion fraud. He's also wanted in Beijing. Wengu, along with one of his business partners, Ji Qingming, is accused of money laundering, something the Bidens are very familiar with. Bank fraud, something, again, they're very familiar. Security fraud, again, very familiar with all that. As per media reports, he was handcuffed and interrogated for over an hour. Both Wengu and his partner have been accused of raising $1 billion from thousands of online followers who thought they were funding media businesses and an exclusive membership club. Now, the real question is what happened next. Here's everything you know about the tycoon. Who is Guo Wengu? Guo fled China in 2014 and settled in the United States following allegations of corruption. Since then, he has been in New York, where he became a vocal critic of the Chinese regime, especially on social media, where he claimed that many Chinese living in the U.S. are actually secret agents of the Chinese Communist Party. So I knew it was just a matter of time before they went after Mao's Guo. I mean, look who's president. The biggest traitor to our country, totally sold out to China, getting $1 million from China. Of course he's going to sell out Mao's Guo. He's also had an alliance with Steve Bannon, who was one of Trump's aides and a vocal advocate for his 2016. Who was one of Trump's aides and vocal advocates for his 2016 false claims of elections? What does that mean? Are you talking about the Democrats falsely saying that Trump was colluding with Russia? Is that what you're talking about? So this is an Indian place, Indian news outlet that I don't trust. But sometimes they do get things absolutely right. But they came out one time with this video of North Korea, and these people were like dancing like they were like Scottish men in kilts or something like that. It was so ridiculous. I was like, what the hell am I watching here? Did they actually put this stuff out to the Indians and expect them to believe that crap? What is going on with that? But let's see here. Let's continue on. Guo, along with Bannon and others, developed Getter, a right-wing alternative to Twitter. The app was developed out of a Chinese-language social media network tied to Guo called Gitomi. Guo was born in Shanghai, China. He was the seventh child of eight children. He married Yu Xingzhu in 1985. According to Freshers Live, Guo has a net worth of $1.1 billion. The Chinese businessman is accused of having participated in an elaborate effort to defraud his online supporters from the Chinese government for over $1 billion. Defraud his online supporters against the Chinese government for over $1 billion. Now, fraud, I mean, the Democrats are so concerned about fraud, aren't they? Among his alleged fraudulent schemes was soliciting $262 million in investments in a cryptocurrency exchange called the Himalayan Exchange. Well, I saw advertisements for that on Getter as well. And, of course, wouldn't invest in that. I mean, just look at all the problems we've had with various different of these types of things, going to the moon and all that crap. Not to say that there is not a definite role for cryptocurrency. I think you have to be diversified and maybe put some money in cryptocurrency, because the dollar's going to zero or whatever. The dollar's going to crash. And some cryptocurrencies are pretty reliable and accepted around the world as mediums of exchange, and Bitcoin is one of those. He was also accused of soliciting money in a private club membership program called G Clubs, where he attracted some $250 million in investments. What happens next? Guo is currently in federal custody and faces up to 20 years in jail if found guilty. He pled guilty not guilty on Wednesday, and was ordered to be detained without bail. His arrest represents a major setback for the Bannon-linked MAGA Make America Great Again right, with one of its funders facing a criminal indictment and having over $500 million in assets frozen. Jeez, it's not that I want fraud. It's not that I'm okay with fraud, but I don't want the government, these criminals, these professional fraudsters going around arresting people for fraud, because they're all fraud. Steve Bannon has recently become one of the major right-wing players through his live stream War Room program, where he holds guests to promote his Trumpist vision of the world. It also has a song named Take Down the CCP. So, I feel sorry for Miles Guo. And because while Joe Biden is completely okay to shake people down and launder money and commit all kinds of fraud and get kickbacks and sell out his office and do everything you could possibly do to destroy this country and commit crimes, he's going after his enemies like there's no tomorrow. And they're also going after Donald Trump, of course, because they can't beat him, because they just can't get rid of him. They just can't get rid of him. So they got to make up stories. They gotta make something up to get rid of them. These anti-fraud crusaders have to come up with something to frame their political opponents. From the Gateway Pundit, American Nightmare. Democrats have nothing. President Trump did nothing wrong, but they will arrest him anyway. Alvin Bragg, New York DA. What a freaking loser, scumbag, piece of garbage. The world is in a financial meltdown right now, and our economy is on the brink of collapse. This is due to Biden's actions. Now the criminals running our government want to arrest a good man who did nothing wrong because he threatens their power. The GOP rhinos tried to stop candidate Trump from winning the nomination in 2016, but they couldn't. Hillary Clinton called Trump and his supporters deplorable, and he beat her. Obama spied on Trump, and he got caught. The Obama gang attempted a coup of the Trump administration. It failed. Trump did nothing wrong. The Democrats impeached him for daring to ask about Biden's actions in Ukraine. He was doing his duty. The Bidens were taking millions from foreigners and bribes and favors. The Chinese dropped COVID-19 when deep state doctors helped. They attempted to cover it up. Fauci and gang got caught. President Trump won millions more votes than any other president in history in the 2020 election, so they stole it from him. They set up January 6th protesters and inserted rioters to cause violence. They got caught. They took the economy and are destroying it. They raided President Trump's home, yet he did nothing wrong. Now a Soros-funded prosecutor from New York is going to arrest and charge President Trump with BS crimes. The problem is none of these villains and criminals were ever held accountable, so they go for more. So Alvin Bragg, Joe Biden, all these people need to go to prison. We should focus on that more than anything. Our main goal should be we want the 100 of the worst criminals here in prison. That's what we want. Because a lot of our problems are going to go away when Bill Gates is in prison, George Soros is in prison, Joe Biden is in prison or executed, preferably executed. He's no good to this human race. Alvin Bragg, he needs to go to prison. We want you to have a taste of what you're dishing out to everybody else. We want you to experience injustice. Because it's actually not injustice for you. It'll feel like injustice to you, but it'll actually be justice. Because you criminal, low-life dirtbags are making people suffer all over the world for your greed for power. And we don't find it acceptable, we do not consent. And we're going to come after you, legally and lawfully. And every chance we get, we're going to prosecute you and hunt you down, legally and lawfully, and throw you in prison after we try you. And if you need to be executed for treason and all the crimes you committed, I mean, there's a mountain of crimes you've committed. We just need to get a hold of you first. And that's why you're trying to go on the offense against us, because you know that once we get a hold of you and we look at what's really going on, what you've been involved in, all you criminals and dirtbags and traitors and scum, we are going to put you in prison where you belong, and it's going to be all right with the world. It's going to be perfect harmony for the world, because these are cancers on our society. These are criminals, and they've been going rogue for a long time now, and it's time that we tell them to shut the hell up, cut it out. Time for you to face justice, and we're going to be a lot better off without you. So I want restitution. I want restitution for the January 6th people. I want restitution for the family members of the family, their family members who you killed with the vaccine. We want restitution for everything. I am so pissed at these people. I'm literally mad as hell at these people because this is such a crime spree. And I want justice. I'm one of those people that believes in justice. I believe it should be fair. There should be justice. I want the unjustly treated. I want them to be made whole. I want things to be made right. And Klaus Schwab should be in prison. George Soros should be in prison. Anthony Fauci should be in prison. Joe Biden should be in prison. All these people. Alvin Bragg should be in prison. Kamala Harris should be in prison. You guys are just a criminal gang, and we're coming for you. And we're everywhere. There's millions and millions and millions of us, and you cannot escape. Time is going to catch up with you. Attorney Mike Davis was on the war room with Steve Bannon to discuss the deep state's threats to arrest President Trump and the make-believe crimes this innocent man committed. Check that out. Hold on. Here we go.
We've got breaking news about security preparations getting underway for a possible Trump indictment in New York in the coming days. I want to bring in NBC's Laura Jarrett and NBC's Vaughn Hilliard, who is outside of Mar-a-Lago. What do we know about these security preparations, Laura?
Chris, for quite some time, we've known that this investigation into the former president has reached an advanced stage. We've known that for days because, of course, his attorneys were notified that they would have the opportunity to bring their client in if they chose to do so. They're not choosing to do so in this case, but we can now report multiple law enforcement agencies, both at the state, local, federal level, are having discussions about potential security precautions in the event that there was to be an indictment of the former president. Now, we are not saying that charges have been filed. We are not opining on what those charges might be. But the fact that the law enforcement officials at this high of a level are having such discussions shows you that this has reached a significant milestone in the case. And the timing here is important. It is our reporting based off of five senior officials that this could happen as soon as next week.
So I don't want to ask you about this specific case. I don't want to go into any sourcing, but in a case like this, where they know it's high profile, when they know it will be security concerns, is there generally an open line of communication between police, between other law enforcement agencies, and any DA, anybody who might be the prosecutor?
In the typical case, and we should mention this is not the typical case, but in the typical case, absolutely, there's an open line of communication. Of course, the DA's office relies on law enforcement every day in order to do its job, in order to execute search warrants. They have an open line of communication. Of course, in this case, it's different because we're talking about the former president of the United States. And again, I want to caution, we are not saying that he's been charged with anything, but of course, he has Secret Service protection. And so in the event that he was charged, it opens up a whole query of issues about how we might handle that. And so that is the reason that you see these preliminary discussions happening at this point.
Let's remind folks, because there are at least four major cases that are ongoing, what's involved here in the New York case.
The New York case, as we believe it to be, and again,
yes,
we haven't seen anything, but we believe it to center on these hush money payments that were made before the 2016 election.
Okay. You have the world in financial meltdown right now. We got Philip Patrick. We've got Peter Navarro is going to be with us. We're going to have Dave Bratt. A lot of people are going to go through this. But we got to start with Mike Davis on this situation right here. Mike Davis, walk me through it there. An out of control local DA for something that's absolutely absurd. Walk me through what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, this is a non-crime, again, that they're going after Trump on here. We have Alvin Bragg, who is the Manhattan DA, this Democrat prosecutor in Manhattan, is continuing the DA's office. They've been trying to get Trump since 2017. I just published a Washington Times piece on this case. It just went up online on the Washington Times' website. It's on my Twitter feed as well. But Alvin Bragg is pursuing this bizarre legal theory that even the New York Times knows is garbage. The liberal New York Times back on March 9th says, quote, "Even if Mr. Trump is indicted, convicting him or sending him to prison will be challenging. The case against Trump hinges on an untested and therefore risky legal theory involving a complex interplay of laws, all amounting to a low-level felony. It is not a crime for someone to settle with someone making accusations against him. And that's Alvin Bragg is trying to turn a routine civil settlement over a nuisance litigation matter into a crime. And they're trying, and this is part of a pattern and practice by the Democrats since before Trump became president, while he was president, now after he's president, to try to take out Trump because they fear that they cannot beat him in the presidential election. He's pulling ahead in some of these polls against President Biden. And so if they can't beat him, they want to indict him. And this is purely a partisan witch hunt against President Trump. It is a joke of a legal theory as evidenced by even the New York Times. And it's part of the pattern. We have the Manhattan DA going after Trump on this bogus legal theory on a settlement. You have the Biden Justice Department going after President Trump for the non-crime of having his presidential records in the office of former president at Mar-a-Lago, and they're trying to turn that into a crime. It's just non-stop with the Democrats. They will do everything. They, down in Fulton County, Georgia, you had the woke Fulton County DA down there trying to go after Trump, saying that it is somehow a crime to contest presidential elections. It's somehow a crime to lobby lawmakers, to push lawmakers. It's somehow a crime to twist arms politically. That's all protected by the First Amendment. And if it's a crime to do all of those things, just about every politician in America would be in prison.
If they indict him on this, they indict him on all of it, but if they particularly go after him, the first one's going to be the Stormy Daniels situation. I guarantee you the primary ends right there. He's the Republican nominee, and I will guarantee you he's going to win the presidency. If this is the way they want to play, every Republican, even the guys that hate Trump, say, okay, this is now beyond out of control. This is beyond out of control.
Mar-a-Lago raid, Steve, his poll numbers spiked. After the Mar-a-Lago raid, his poll numbers went up substantially. I think it was by like 11 points. This is going to guarantee Trump's election, like you said. And remember what's going on here. They're trying to go after Trump for documents he is allowed to have under the Presidential Records Act, while the Biden Justice Department ignores the clearly illegal, clearly Espionage Act violations by then Vice President Joe Biden when he had several different stolen classified documents from the Obama White House in several different locations. They're ignoring the fact that Hunter Biden illegally had a gun. Tax evasion. They're ignoring the fact that there is smoking gun evidence that we just saw this week confirming from James Comer's outstanding investigations on the House Oversight Committee that the Biden family took money from Chinese oligarchs, energy oligarchs connected to the CCP. Our justice system at every level, from the Biden Justice Department to these woke clown Democrat DAs in Manhattan and Fulton County, Georgia, this has been politicized and weaponized against President Trump because they can't beat him, so they want to indict him.
Mike, what's your social media? Because the piece is up in the Washington Times. It's a powerful piece, as only Mike Davis can deliver. Davis, the social media, because this weekend I'm hearing this thing could come as early as Monday or Tuesday. And I got to tell you, the MAGA movement got to understand this is what they're going to do. This is how much they fear Trump. Right. And particularly now that he's focused on policy. Now they got some their sea legs there. He's separating himself from DeSantis and all the rest of them. He's going to beat Biden. Biden's going to destroy this country, the financial system, in the next 6 or 8 weeks. We're going to get into that in a second. They're nationalizing the banks right now. The whole thing's melting down, and all they're doing is taking your money and throwing it onto the dumpster fire. Okay, so you don't think Biden's going to be this? The economy is catastrophic. It won't recover for years until Donald Trump's back there. So go ahead and indict him. Go ahead and indict him. How do people get to you? I'm sorry, Mike, I cut you off. You got something else?
I would just say to Trump supporters and everyone else, stay peaceful. Do not do anything that could be perceived as threatening. Stay peaceful, because we saw what happened on January 6th. They will throw your butts in jail. So stay peaceful. President Trump will absolutely prevail in the courts. This is going to backfire on the Democrats spectacularly. Do not give any rope to hang yourselves to the Biden Justice Department or any local prosecutor. Stay peaceful.
Let's be tough, but let's be smart. The bigger game here is returning Trump to the White House. He said yesterday he's going after the administrative state. Those things are not unrelated. This is why they're coming after him. He's going after the administrative state every day. They know it. We know it. Right. And this is why they're going to play Smash Mouth. But just be smart and focused and tough. Mike Davis, your coordinates.
Sure. It's article3project.org, article3project.org, @article3project, @article3project on Twitter, Getter Truth. And my personal is @MRDDMIA, and Article 3 Project will be fighting for Trump every step of the way, because this is BS what they're doing to him.
It's a blemish on the country's record is what they're doing, and they know they got a terrible one here. They're about to make him the 47th president of the United States, okay? And we're coming this time, and we mean it. We're going to get rid of the FBI, defund these guys, get rid of all these bad apples in DOJ. Get rid of all the bad apples in the intelligence. We're coming for the administrative state. Write that down. Mike Davis, thank you, sir.
But if you're one of those people that say, oh, we got to move on from Trump, he's too, too polarizing, all that stuff, think again, because the media is now doing what they did to Trump to DeSantis. They're turning him now into Hitler. He's the latest Hitler. He's the one everyone needs to be afraid of and run from and be so scared of. And he's going to collude with Russia and China and turn your world into Nazi Germany. Yep, right on cue. So you cannot escape it. Yes, Trump is tough, but in many ways he's polarizing because he's just fighting back against these totally evil, morally bankrupt media and government people. So check it out what they're doing to DeSantis. So if you think you're going to get a break by going with DeSantis other than Trump, think again, because they're already turning up the volume on Trump, on DeSantis as a fascist, DeSantis this, DeSantis that. Everyone freak out, everyone cry and scream and be afraid. Check it out.
If Florida Governor Ron DeSantis becomes president of the United States, which he is clearly aiming for, America will become the land of total government control over women's bodies, black history, gender identity, how you can teach, learn, read, think, even talk.
It's like the ultimate gaslighting to basically be steamrolling fascist policies into the state and doing so under the banner of freedom and rights.
It's terrifying. It feels like a Soviet system, or, you know, the way the Nazis would build a Potemkin village.
He really has tried to turn himself into sort of a local Mussolini in Florida with the book banning and the brutal tactics.
He is somebody that now has attacked African-American education. He is attacking any type of liberal arts education.
This guy just seems like just sort of a curmudgeonly anti-black and anti-LGBTQ person.
We have to call this what this is. This is fascism and authoritarianism that goes even beyond what Trump has talked about.
Ron DeSantis is uniquely dangerous on cultural issues and his strive to take the nation back 50 years.
If it ain't white, it ain't right in DeSantis stand.
And we have yet more evidence that Carrie Lake had her governorship stolen by the people who are so concerned about fraud. They don't care. They don't see any fraud whatsoever when it comes to the elections. None. No. No fraud, no fraud with Hunter Biden, no fraud with elections. Everything's great, perfect, best election ever. Inflation is transitory. Everything's fine. But there is fraud, massive fraud, and we know it. And that's why you guys got to go to prison. Check it out. Rasmussen polls Arizonans and finds that Carrie Lake probably won by 8 points. Check this one out.
Okay, we're going to change this up. You've got breaking news on polling out of Arizona, Mark Mitchell. And can you put, because it's such a blowaway poll. It's such a massive poll, first off, what you did, I think 1,000. Walk us through what your latest explosive polling shows out of the state of Arizona.
It shows that people in Arizona, by and large, think that cheating happened just this recent midterm, not even 2020. We've asked at a national level, the 2020 numbers, how likely is it that cheating affected the outcome? And we've always shown every single time we've tested, like six or seven times now, that a strong majority of voters think it's likely that cheating affected the outcome. Numbers been as high as 58%. I think it never got lower than 53%. And what instigated this particularly was a poll that actually a reader brought to our attention. And it was this Ohio Predictive Insights poll that ran about a month ago. And there were a couple things that just really upset us about it. It seemed like they cherry-picked results. There were some very leading questions. And they sat on the poll for a month and seemed to be dropping it for political reasons. So I say this a lot to people who are our followers in the videos I do. If you don't like polling, don't say, well, your polls are garbage. Don't ignore it. Go out and do your own poll. Hire your own poll. So somebody came to us and hired us for a poll in Arizona. And that, to me, that's the way polling is supposed to work. And we came at this from a million different directions. We're not going to cherry pick results. We're not going to pretest words to try and get the results we want. We go out, we ask questions, we weight it to match what we think the electorate looks like, and we run with the results. And we got some pretty incredible things. And if you want, I can just run down a little list here of all other things.
Let's do it.
How likely is it that cheating affected the outcome of the 2020 presidential election? This is 1,000 Arizona likely voters. 49% say at least somewhat likely, 29% say very likely, 68% of Republicans say likely, and even 29% of Democrats. Republicans in Arizona say problems with the 2020 election in Maricopa prevented many people from voting. How likely is it that these problems affected the outcome of the election? So we even used the word Republican in there, and talking specifically about Maricopa suppression. 54% of Arizona likely voters say at least somewhat likely, 35% say very likely, 76% of Republicans say likely, and 1/3 of Arizona Democrats. How likely, do you agree or disagree with this statement? It isn't about Republicans or Democrats. It's about our sacred right to vote, which sadly many voters were deprived of on November 8th. That's Carrie Lake quote, by the way. 58% of Arizona likely voters agree, 72% of Republicans, 37% of Democrats. So, I mean, we went on. Oh, this one's my favorite, too. So they asked the Ohio Predictive Insight poll. Just they do this thing where they give you two long sentences to pick from, ask you which one is most represents your view. And those, it's not apples and oranges. The sentences can be worded very differently. And the one that was the fraud response, to me, seemed like it had some keywords and tricky phrases in there that would make people not want to answer it. It's much more accurate and telling to just throw a statement out there and give voters a chance to say yes, no. Have you seen compelling evidence that makes you believe there was election fraud in Arizona 2020 elections? 35% of Arizona voters say yes. Only 50% say no. Only 50% of Arizona voters say no. 15% say not sure, but they can always be convinced. 53% of Republicans say yes. 17% of Democrats. 32% of independents. So this is a very strong signal that Arizona voters are aware that there are irregularities in cheating. How likely is it that irregularities in the election in heavily affected Republican areas happened intentionally to suppress Republican vote? 49% of Arizona voters say likely, 72% of Republicans, and 26% of Democrats, 47% of independents.
Yeah, you can't. You can't have when you've got this proportion of the electorate that thinks something happened and is stolen, you can't. They talk about a democracy. How you gonna talk to me about 2020? You also did 2022. Walk me through the 2022 results.
Oh, 24 coming up. So now, in this case, we asked a set of questions in the poll about who did you vote for in the most recent midterm election, and we asked Secretary of State, Attorney General, Governor, and Senate. And now a lot of pollsters, ones with maybe less courage, would really use those results to weight the poll, to match the outcome of the elections, and then bury the questions and pretend that they never even asked them. And, you know, to be honest, these results were just so unbelievable that we had to report them. So I'm very confident in the way we weighted this poll. It's our standard methodology. We use very uncontroversial weightings. They're actually slightly more favorable to Democrats, 2 points, than the Edison numbers that came out for that everybody uses, you know, gold standard in the industry for exit polling. And so favorable to Democrats, just traditionally weighted. And what we found is that voters told us that just 4 months ago, they elected Carrie Lake as the governor of Arizona by 8 points.
I want you to repeat that. Just focus on the governor, because I know you got others we want to get into, but I got to walk me through the methodology again. Take a minute, walk through the methodology, and then tell me the results of the governor's race.
As far as polling methodology, you know the way we work. We are a high-volume pollster. We love a system that we can believe in, and we know it works at a national level. If you average all of our September and October generic ballot polling, we were off 1.2% from the official reported national House popular vote. So the polling works, and we've gone into states and tested it too. And I'll tell you what, we nailed the Arizona Republican primary at the end of the summer. And, you know, there weren't Democrats in that election. But in this case, we go to online panels and we use landlines in Arizona and dial them up and ask people these questions. Then we took the demographics and weighted it to match the electorate. The Edison exit polling said in 2022, the electorate was R plus six. We used R plus five. And we got Carrie Lake winning 51-43 against Katie Hobbs and beating Katie Hobbs by 14 points among independents. And I'll tell you, I would have to put Democrats up eight in this data set in order to get Katie Hobbs to win. Now, if you run through the others, we have Mark Fincham winning Secretary of State by 3 points. We have Abe Hamaday winning over Chris Mays by 6 points. But we have Blake Masters losing by 4 points to Mark Kelly. Here's the thing, Steve. It's almost exactly what the outcome was. We're only 1 point off. We had Mark Kelly at 50 and Blake Masters at 46. I think the final numbers was Mark Kelly at 51. And these numbers, the numbers we ask you. Yeah, go ahead.
Bottom line, long story short, is that we are in the majority. We are currently being occupied by some traitors and some criminals and a small band of radicals who are trying to circumvent our will, destroy our country, enslave us, and shut us up forever. And we're not going to let that happen. We're not going to quit. We're not going to fight. I mean, we're not going to quit fighting. And whatever it takes, if we have to die in the process, if we go to prison in the process, whatever happens, we're not going to quit. We're not going to quit no matter what. So I hope you're in for a long fight, and I hope you're ready to go to prison and face the justice you'll face in the end when we win, because we're not going to quit. If I have to die, I'm going to die. If I have to go to prison, I'm going to go to prison. No matter what. I don't care. I don't care. I care about defeating you. That's what I care about. And we're going to defeat him. And I want to leave you with the Justice for All song from the Jan 6 Choir. They already reached number one, so I don't think they're going to be upset that I'm playing it on my little podcast. But, you know, doesn't have that many listeners. So I just want to leave you with that before I go. And just remember to keep getting engaged and keep fighting, keep spreading the information, keep getting prepared. Don't give up. Thanks for listening. And until next week, I'll talk to you then. Bye.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Whose stripes and bright stars through the land.
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
You want to be sure that this country stays free. That means that any spy agency continues to be outward-looking, to spy on foreigners, but not to be spying on Americans or not to be trampling upon the laws and constitutional rights of American citizens.
Almost all the world's constitutions are documents in which governments tell the people what their privileges are. Our Constitution is a document in which we, the people, tell the government what it is allowed to do.